Good evening. Good to see everyone this morning. Good to see some visitors with us. We're always thankful to have you, and I always welcome you to be with us whenever you have the opportunity to do so. I hope that you are as excited as I am about the announcement of our upcoming gospel meeting. Now is the time to be really planning for that. We intend for this meeting to be evangelistically focused, in other words, primarily for non-members of the Lord's church. So I encourage you to begin talking to friends and neighbors, and maybe you already are, perhaps even setting up some Bible studies once a week or so forth leading up to the gospel meeting. I found that that's been very effective in trying to bring people to Christ and uplifting them in a study of God's Word and bringing them, as we are, one step at a time, closer and closer to God. I want to present some thoughts to you this evening based on this passage that we find in Proverbs 24 and verse 23. It's, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." There are some very key passages of Scripture, and this is one of them. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it springs the issues of life. I believe without this verse, we don't really recognize the importance of keeping our heart. We take our heart for granted. We assume that we've got a pretty good heart. And of course, we're talking about spiritually oh, we all make mistakes and all of those types of things. But all in all, I think I'm a pretty good person. I'm going to present a few thoughts about that this evening. But this verse, all by itself, tells us that our heart isn't anything to be taken lightly. It is something that we are to keep with all diligence. The word diligence here in the Hebrew means guard. Guard your heart with all diligence. And I like that. Because keeping your heart is too generic. But guarding your heart shows that, wait a minute, if I'm supposed to be guarding it, then I need to be alert. I need to be alert that somebody or something could place my heart in jeopardy. I need to guard my heart with all diligence, with steadiness and perseverance, with giving attention to it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says it this way: "Be sober," be serious about this, "be vigilant," give full attention to this, "because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." It doesn't say seeking someone else to devour. You could be the one. And if we're not sober, if we're not vigilant, if we're not guarding our heart, we're going to be his victim. And perhaps we already are and don't even realize it. We just take for granted that, well, we're not it, when in fact we are. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 says, "Let no one deceive himself. If any one among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise." Now, the context here is very interesting. We're going to kind of pull it out of the context and make an application of it. Because the people at Corinth, there were those at Corinth who were teaching false doctrine and were doing so on the premise that they were wiser than the ones who didn't embrace their false doctrine. We're wiser than you, and so you need to listen to us. And so Paul is speaking specifically to them. They have deceived themselves. They thought they were wise. He says, you need to become a fool. You need to become as one who doesn't know anything so that you can be taught. because you can't teach somebody who knows everything. Have you ever noticed that? We need to humble ourselves before God, revere God, and let His Word speak to us and teach us. Notice He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Yes, the thoughts of our life are formed here. As you guard and keep your heart, realize that out of your heart are going to come your thoughts. That you get out of your heart what you put into your heart. Purposes are planned in our heart. Words originate there. Actions proceed from our heart. Luke 6 and verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. I want you to notice something here. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. The passage doesn't say a good man does good because he has a good heart. It doesn't say an evil man does evil because he has an evil heart. Everybody has a good heart. We are created with a good heart. What happens to that heart depends upon what we put into that heart. What comes out of that heart is totally dependent upon what we put into it. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of an evil treasure brings forth that which is evil. What are you putting into your heart? And having embraced this good treasure that God has given us, and as we talked about this morning, living for Jesus, living a life that Jesus lived, to be like Jesus, we must desire to do the Father's will. We must desire to be found in peace with God. We must desire to glorify God. That all comes by placing His Word in our heart, treasuring righteousness, a knowledge of righteousness, and most especially the practice of righteousness. Because out of the good treasure of our heart, we bring forth that which is good. If we're failing to revere God, to keep His commandments, to live to His praise, to live to His glory by keeping His commandments, we have an evil treasure, and evil will come forth. So let's recognize that. You know, every once in a while I'm talking to someone about something, and they'll just say, well, I've got a good heart, or they've got a good heart. Everybody has a good heart. What are you putting in it? What do you treasure? Do you treasure good or do you treasure evil? What do you talk about? What do you think about? What do you find yourself? What books do you find yourself reading? What movies do you find yourself watching? TV shows? Songs? What songs do you listen to? What lyrics attract you? You realize that you're filling your heart with what you hear, with what you see, with where you go, with who you associate with, and what you participate in. Your heart is good. Treasure it, guard it, Do not let the evil in. And finding that good treasure, be sure to store it in your heart. What are the functions of the Bible heart? Well, as we've been talking about, it's there that we think. It's there that thoughts are formed. And therefore, as we guard our heart and we guard those thoughts, then we must keep them pure. Genesis 6 and verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In the days of Noah, when God decided that it's time to destroy humanity because of their evil. Because evil has corrupted the hearts of the people to the point that every intention of their thoughts. Can you imagine that? People didn't even have an intention to think a good thought. The intention of their thoughts was to think on those things that were evil and then practice those things. We say, man, things are bad today. Yes, things are bad today. Can they be worse? Yes. It's kind of like everybody wants to talk about the weather last week. From what I've seen, the weather this week isn't going to be a whole lot better, but maybe a little bit. But, yeah, it was bad. Could it be worse? Yeah, it could be worse. Things are bad, and it can get worse spiritually. The intention, people intend to think on evil things. Think about that the next time that you're being tempted to sin by whatever your proclivity is, your pleasure, your carnal pleasure that you take in the participation of your sin. When you think about, when you find yourself entertaining those thoughts, realize that your intentions are going in the wrong place. Realize that somebody is off duty. Somebody has fallen asleep at their guard post. When he said, give diligence to guard your heart, I mean, just stay awake, be vigilant. Don't take this lightly. You hear something that sounds wrong, it is wrong. Stay away from it. You see something that is carnally attractive to you, stay away from it. Be on guard against it. Say, captain of the guard, who goes there? What are your intentions? Come to seek and to destroy. Well, you can't come in here. We don't think about those things. We don't look at those things. We don't talk about those things. Denied. But God saw that the wickedness of man was so great on the earth that even the intentions of their thought didn't even intend to think about good things. It's a bad situation. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. So many times when we talk about salvation and what one must do to be saved, this verse gets left out. And it's this verse is where we need to somewhere start. Or it needs to be there. Yes, we have to believe in Jesus, trust Him, obey Him, repent, turn from our sin and turn to Him, confess Him, be baptized, abide in His Word. Baptism does now save us. Same author said, Peter, 1 Peter 3:21. Ananias told Saul, "Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Wash away your sins. That sounds like purifying, doesn't it? A lot of times when we talk about purifying our souls, we're talking about being baptized for the remission of our sins. That's part of it, but that's just an outward demonstration. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's not necessary for salvation. It's absolutely necessary for salvation. But that outward demonstration of obedience to Christ is fostered by and comes from purifying our souls first. Hearing the truth. Obeying the truth. Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." God's word is truth. Jesus said as he prayed to his Father the night before his crucifixion. And he asked that his disciples be sanctified, be purified through the truth. "Your word, Father, is truth. Abide in my word and you will know the truth." John 8:31, 32. We purify our souls in obeying the truth. Not in hearing the truth. Not in knowing the truth. Not in acknowledging that God's word is truth. We purify our souls in obeying the truth. And so if you know that you're lost because of your sin, you're separated from God because of your sin, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you will not trust Him and you will not obey Him, you will not turn from your sin to walk in the pathway of righteousness with God, you will not be baptized for the remission of your sins, although you know the truth, you will not obey the truth, then your heart cannot be purified. Because you purify your soul in obeying the truth. The truth that was delivered to us through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, delivered to us in this marvelous book that we call the Bible. So think on the truth, know it, and practice it. Matthew 5 and verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." How do you purify your heart? Obey the truth. They shall see God. Well, I've got a good heart. I think I should see God. Are you obeying the truth? Your words betray you. I've got a good heart, but I don't think you have to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. I don't think you need to be a member of a local congregation. I don't think you need to worship God any particular way. You can worship God however seems most sincere to you. That's what I think. Well, you're thinking wrong. You don't think the way God thinks. You don't think in agreement with the revelation of God's word of truth that purifies your heart. You might want to rethink some things. And if you have a good heart and you want to take care of that good heart, you will rethink those things and see what God has to say about it. It is in the Bible heart that our understanding takes place, and our thoughts must be centered on God's word of truth. Matthew 13 and verse 15 says, "The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Jesus says, look, you need to use the eyes and the ears and the heart that your God gave you. They are designed to do specific things. Not just to see and to hear, but to process, understand, and use what you're seeing and hearing. These people were seeing and hearing the Word of God made flesh. Seeing Him, but not seeing Him. Hearing Him, but not hearing Him. Failing to understand. He says, if you would just understand, if you would use the good sense God has given you, you would understand and you would turn to the pathway of righteousness and walk in it, and I will heal you. Ephesians 4 and verse 18, very interesting passage of Scripture. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. It's interesting that it begins at the end of the process. This verse begins at the end of the process. Their understanding is darkened. Why? Because they're alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Why are they ignorant? Because of the blindness of their heart. They're not using what God has given them. They're not using their eyes. They're not using their ears. They're not opening the understanding of their heart. Because if they did, he said, if they would allow their heart to be enlightened with the Word of God, then they would know what God would have them to do. And they would be in fellowship with God, not alienated from Him. Their understanding would be enlightened by the truth of God's Word. So, when you see someone and you talk to someone and you know that they're lost and you know that they are in spiritually the pit of despair, perhaps the intention of the thoughts of their heart is only evil continually. Realize that the problem is not their heart. The problem is what they have put into their heart. It's what they dwell upon. You need and I need to give people the benefit of the doubt that they've got a good heart. It just needs to be shown. And the only way we can do that, as we talked about this morning, is put the word of truth in their heart and see what they do with it. Are they going to be enlightened? Are they going to be no longer ignorant but knowledgeable of the things of God and desire to be in fellowship with God rather than alienated from God? Colossians 3 and verse 16 tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And very quickly, we often go to the rest of the verse, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace, favor in your hearts to the Lord. Sing. See, that's the kind of music we're to have. Sing with favor in your heart to the Lord. Not on an instrument of music, but the instrument is our heart. And we talk about what kind of worship is right and music is right in worship service to God. That's all fine and good. But I don't think we meditate long enough on the very first part of that verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We can talk about other people. And many times we don't want to focus on our heart. We want to talk about other people's heart. I've got a friend. I wish they would obey the gospel. I believe they have a good heart. I need to teach them the gospel. I need to show them right. Yes, you do. But what about you? What about you? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Why? That's how you guard your heart. That's how you guard it. That's how you continue in those things that are good. That's how good things come out of your heart. When the word of Christ dwells in you richly in all wisdom, understanding, and understanding to the point to where you're able to apply that wisdom and that knowledge. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That sounds like somebody's on guard duty, doesn't it? That sounds like somebody's keeping out those things that are evil. How's he doing it? By letting the Word of God stand guard in his heart. By recognizing what is good and recognizing what is evil. By saying no to evil. And allowing the good of God's righteous truth into one's heart. It's in the Bible heart that our affections are centered. They must be centered on God and His servants. Many times when we talk about heart and love and all those things, we're talking about affections and those things. Do you have an affection for God? In Matthew 22 and verses 35 through 38, a lawyer asked Jesus a question, testing him. It wasn't a sincere question. Testing him, saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? What's the greatest of the commandments in the Mosaic law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment." You get this one right? If your affection for God's word is all, to the point to where you just not want to know it, but you want to practice, you want to praise God in the practice of it, you want to glorify God in the practice of it, you're on the right path. You've got the right attitude. You've got the right affection for the truth. And you'll be able to follow through with it. Colossians 3 in the first two verses says it this way. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Let your affections be focused on God and righteousness and heaven, not on things on the earth. There are carnal things that we love to do that are not sinful unless we make them sinful. We love them more than we love the things of Christ. We prioritize them more than we prioritize doing the will of God. Guard your affections for every good thing and place them in the proper priority. Set your mind on things above. It is in our heart, it's where our confidence is found and set. Ephesians 6 in the first 10 through 13 verses says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." Does that sound like guard duty? Yep. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Have confidence in the truth of God's word. Treasure it. Let it stand guard on your heart, because Satan is so deceitful. He'll sneak in if we're not on guard. James 1, verses 6 through 8 says it this way. Ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. If you ask God for something, doubting whether he will grant that request or not, God is not well pleased with your request. If you can help me with this, Lord. What? Did you forget I am Almighty God? Nothing is impossible with me. If what you're requesting is in alignment with my will, if you're requesting something that's going to praise me and glorify me, God, yes, you will have your request. If it's something that you just selfishly want to use for your own purposes, don't even ask it. But if you have a request of God that's going to honor and glorify Him, be fully persuaded that He's going to grant you what you are requesting. That's what He's saying here. The man who doubts, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Have confidence in what God promises. Have confidence in His word. Have confidence in Him when you pray to Him. Matthew 11 and verses 20 through 24 says, in the morning as they passed by, they saw that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. I mean, it didn't just appear dead, it was dead. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So quickly, in 24 hours, completely dead. That doesn't happen. Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Trust God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. If it would honor God, glorify God, to say to a mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, God says it'll be done. Now, is Jesus speaking literally? No. But he's saying nothing's impossible with God. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. You will have them. God can change the weather even when it's happening. Have more faith in the weather maker than the weather forecaster, okay? Let us guard our heart and keep our heart carefully with the truth of God's Word. As sure as we ignore maintaining our hearts, Satan will fill it with evil to its destruction. Treasure your heart. Place God's Word of truth on guard in your heart. Always be growing in the knowledge of God's Word and in favor with God. And you will be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, although you know that's what you need to do, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to not just know the truth, but obey the truth. Now's the time to let your desire be known, that you want to be identified with Jesus Christ. You want to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. You want to follow Him as a disciple of Christ from this day forward, abiding in His Word, a true disciple, knowing the truth, and being set free. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, please come as we stand and sing this song.
I will sing the wondrous story of a Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through His loving arms around me, drew me back unto His way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then He'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Would you bow with me? Most holy and righteous Father in heaven, as always, we are very grateful for this opportunity to come before your throne this afternoon. We're so grateful, Father, that we have this privilege, and as we meditate on it, what a truly awesome and great thing it is to come before the very Creator of all things, who knows all things and is able to do all things. Father, we ask that you would look at each one of our hearts this afternoon. Help us to see those areas that are not being kept diligently. And help us to see those things of wickedness that might have slipped past our guard. Help us to quickly identify them, to remove them, Father. Grant us the wisdom to do this. Father, please continue to grant us opportunities to proclaim your word, and that the truth might be embedded in good and honest hearts. We ask that you would lead us to them, Father, but also help us to remember that we are not soil inspectors, but seed sowers, Father, and that we must cast the seed of truth out abundantly, that it might reach as many as possible. Father, as we leave this place, we ask that you would help us to grow this week, that we might be encouraged and to not lose hope, Father, and that we might be lifted up. Let us not grow weary, Father. Help us to continue to be zealous for the work that you have given us to do, that many souls might be saved, Father, through our efforts. We ask that you would help us to properly put things in perspective. Help us to see thorns in our life, Father, which are hindering the growth of your word within us, and hindering the fruits that we might be bearing. We ask, Father, that you truly do help us to maintain our hearts, for we do know from your word, as we have been reminded this afternoon, that all things spring from it, and it is truly a mighty thing that we must diligently be keeping. Father, please forgive us of our sins and our trespasses and all those times that we did not look to you for guidance, but we chose to do our own will over yours. And of course, Father, be with those that are sick, for there is always the sick with us. And be with those that are spiritually sick, Father, that we're not maybe here to hear these words, and that need to be reminded of these things. And Father, help us to build each other up and to encourage each other and to reach out to those people. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.